We touched on the topic a bit in the last segment, but now we're going to go a bit deeper into the past week's confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh with my next guest. Are we seeing the end of bipartisanship in the making? Has politics invaded every aspect now of the people's government? Do too many want an activist judicial branch now? Here with a look back at the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings and what they revealed is Business Insider's politics reporter, Joe Perticone. How are you today, Joe?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good to have you here with us today. Businessinsider.com, the website where you can check out Joe's work and the other journalists. What, let me just find the quote here real fast, if I can, because I think it sort of states the foundation of what Brett Kavanaugh was all about. Among the many things he said, a judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written. A judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent. Seems to be someone almost in the that would walk in the shoes of Antonin Scalia with a belief like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, why he was picked, and that's, you know, it's very similar to Justice Gorsuch, you know, and that's what the administration was doing. Obviously, that's not what Democrats want, but it's not always, you know, liberal versus conservative with these judges. If, as we've seen, I mean, in the past term, Justice Gorsuch sided, I guess, with liberals, as you could say, more so than the retiring Anthony Kennedy did. And it's just the way they interpret the law. So it really depends on the case. And I think that that's what a lot of Republicans have tried to hammer in, that, you know, he's a textualist. You know, that's not the same as being a conservative, even though they often align more with what conservatives want.
And in the Thursday hearings, too, they also had, you know, the Democrats were infamous for the huge charts and displays. The Republicans had one too on the committee that listed the number of times that in specific instances where Kavanaugh sided with labor unions, teacher unions, and more liberal sides of the political and legal debates.
Yeah, I mean, there's been no short of theatrics in the hearings. You've had lots of charts and whatnot, and everyone was trying to show and sway their way. But probably the most, you know, headline grabbing parts of the hearings were not where they were actually, you know, doing Q&A. It was the drama of, you know, Democrats were trying motion to have the hearing adjourned on the first day. And then when they realized they couldn't do that, they kept going and they were threatening to release confidential documents. And it was this big controversy throughout, you know, the past several days, and it's wrapping up today.
Which was really much ado about nothing. I saw the emails that Booker had released. It was basically, it made sense of what Lindsey Graham had as far as his line of questioning, where he got into national security and terrorism and whether America was part of the war on terror battlefield, because the emails, at least my understanding from them, was it was this a discussion of profiling as a means of national defense against possible Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, email showed, and Cory Booker was threatening to release the emails that were confidential before, you know, which without them being approved, which, you know, could be under threat of expulsion from the Senate. And it just basically showed that Judge Kavanaugh, you know, back when he worked for the Bush administration, did not approve of racial profiling in the aftermath of 9/11. So it wasn't very controversial. But then it came out that the emails that Booker released, and, you know, he kept saying, I'm breaking the rules, I know the consequences. But it turns out those documents were already cleared for release, so he didn't really break the rules. Mm-hmm. So he kind of had egg on his face. But he went further, and he's more emails that aren't confidential.
He was just getting stock footage for his 2020 campaign ads. That seems pretty much obvious. He's running now, if there was any doubt before his grandstanding at these hearings.
Well, that's what John Cornyn, the majority whip and member of the Judiciary Committee, said to him in the hearing. He's like, you know, I'm not running for president. So, you know, it was a clear jab at Booker. A lot of the potential 2020 candidates have on the Democratic side have stood out in this hearing as, you know, being very loud and creating, you know, a ruckus. But they insist that it's, you know, it's about process. But, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we're talking about Joe Perticone, politics reporter for Business Insider. BusinessInsider.com is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. This is going to be a close vote, like it or not. If you look at the count in the Senate, 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats, Mike Pence as a tiebreaker if needed. The topic of abortion, it seemed like the Democrats hooked onto that. Were they hoping to maybe come up with something that would sway Collins or Murkowski on the Republican side?
Yeah, that's been what they've been trying to angle for the most, because they know that they need at least, you know, a couple Republicans to not get on board, and that's the only way they can stop him, is if they, you know, get Collins and Murkowski. But so far, I mean, even emails that have shown, there was an email that was released, and it showed that Brett Kavanaugh said that, you know, Roe v. Wade, obviously a court can overturn the precedent, because the court can overturn whatever they want. But he didn't say, I would vote to overturn it. He just noted that, you know, clearly some justices would. But Murkowski, or I haven't heard from Murkowski yet, but Collins, she didn't seem very perturbed by it when she went through, you know, and all the reporters were talking to her in this in the Capitol. So, it, you know, when it still looks like he's holding all the votes of the Republicans, and, you know, clearly they're going to try and court a few of those vulnerable red state Democrats. So I think that so far, you know, it's looking like the votes are certainly there.
I was just going to ask, too, are there red state Democrats who are looking at their polls right now saying, well, can I vote no or should I vote yes?
And then there are some races, you know, where I know in Missouri, Josh Hawley, the Republican candidate challenging Claire McCaskill, like he has made the Supreme Court issue like center to his campaign. He's been talking about it nonstop, and he knows that the sticking point. And there's a handful of Democrats who voted for Neil Gorsuch, and that was when there was a lot less pressure than there is now, and there'll be a vote, you know, in October. That's, you know, right before the election, so there's going to be a lot of pressure there.
With Murkowski being one of the weakest Democrats running for a re-election in the Senate right now, just for the last minute here, so I want to just hit on that New York Times anonymous op-ed that came about. Is it likely that whoever was the author of that op-ed is a person who talked to Bob Woodward?
It's certainly possible. I mean, he's Bob Woodward. He knows everyone in Washington, and he, you know, clearly talked to a lot of people for this book. I think the difference between Woodward and Michael Wolff is that there's a significantly large more amount of credibility for Bob Woodward than there was for Michael Wolff. But I mean, the author of this op-ed, I think it's only a matter of time before we find out. I know every reporter I know is working around the clock to try and find out who it was. The administration is looking into who it was, because they don't like this. They don't like the idea of, you know, someone working from within. So, you know, we'll probably find out at some point who wrote this op-ed, even though every single cabinet official is going down denying. Everyone's saying, you know, I didn't do it, but it could be a cabinet official. It could be lesser than that. I mean, they were identified as a senior administration official, but that's so vague. Almost 1,000 positions are confirmed by the Senate.
Yeah, that's one of 1,000. And odds are, much like with Deep Throat, it's going to be a name no one's ever heard of.
That's possible. It's also, I mean, possible that it could be someone bigger. You know, Mark Felt denied that he was Deep Throat, and you know, we've seen tons of people come out and deny that it was them. Yesterday, when Nancy Pelosi was talking to some of us, she joked that she thought it might have been Mike Pence. That was her first guess. But then she said, you know, they're going to, you know, ask everyone down to the White House butler to try and figure out who it is.
Read more about what's happening in D.C., and there's always a lot happening in D.C. Get the political view of everything at Business Insider, businessinsider.com. You can read Joe's work and the other journalists there at businessinsider.com. Joe, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.